Hello, is this Mark?
It is. Good morning.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, Steve?
Not too bad. This is Steve from the Roller Steve Show. Today's date is September 12th, 2010, and it's about 12:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm talking with Mark Davis. Mark Davis is an international traveler who went overseas to find a beautiful Ukrainian woman. Mark, I'm going to let you just take it away. Tell us about yourself, and why did you make this radical decision?
Well, first of all, Steve, I got to tell you, it's my delight to talk to you. You and I have had several conversations, and every time I do, it's been a blast. So I was looking forward to this interview, and I'm glad to have this opportunity because I think so many guys are in the same spot I was, and it came about when I turned 40 and I became single again and realized that the last time I'd been in the dating scene, I was 28, and things were a little different. It was because of a mixed set of experiences dating here that did finally lead me overseas. But what I ended up trying to figure out the dating scene. I know most of your shows are about that. I've enjoyed listening to your shows. But after trying to figure out how to make things work here and feeling like, well, this is the only shot I have, so I have to make this work, I had a unique opportunity because the company I was representing invited me on a fishing trip. I don't even like fishing, okay, but they invited me. I mean, the chairman of the board does, you just go. And it ended up being an amazing, life-changing thing. It was on the Amazon in Brazil. And the adventure part was phenomenal. I mean, I got to meet villagers. We did alligator hunting at night a few times, caught piranha. And on the way back, we ended up having an extra stayover in Manaus. It's a city in the middle of Brazil. It's a couple of million people. And while we were hanging out there, one of the guys said, hey, would you like to meet some ladies? And we all said, sure. There's about 15 of us. So later that evening, we're out by the river having some beers. And he said, oh, are you guys ready to meet some girls? We're like, yeah, what are we going to do? Walk the streets and pick them up? Well, he'd already made phone calls. And evidently, these girls are just waiting for his signal. So he nods. And all of us had a wonderful, beautiful young lady sitting next to us. And to say they're beautiful, I mean, you can imagine, you've seen the pageant, the Brazilian women are phenomenal, the bronze skin and the curves and the soft eyes, and we were just beside ourselves enjoying the time. So it got me to a place where spending time with these women was amazing, and I kind of wondered if it was a fluke, I was just on vacation, but they seemed to wrap all their attention around me. It was this real sincere fascination about, what are you about? And the attention was there. It's like, you know, are you hungry? You're thirsty? What can I do for you? And observing the overall culture, even there as we were having beers, we're watching as the families all came out in the evenings and the men are hanging out together. The women are hanging out together. The kids are playing in the playground. And you've seen, if you ever watch those, like those Mexican TV stations, you know, they have no problem putting sensuality out on TV. And even in some of the kids' shows, you go, oh my gosh, we would never allow that here. But they were very comfortable with it. So there was this overwhelming sense of, one, that men are valued, that I was treated like a king for a day, and that they were comfortable with being attractive and sensuous. And it fascinated me. I ended up studying more on it, and some of the guys I went with, we went back on several other trips to Costa Rica, Rio de Janeiro. And it was amazing how the story kept repeating itself. And it didn't just have to do with dating. It was just in general. You go overseas and you're just treated like a king. And that was my first impression. And it fascinated me to be able to learn that there is a different value set in other countries about men, who they are, and how they're appreciated over there. And I'm sure you've heard that from some of your other interviews. But what really hit me was when I met one that I fell in love with. There was, in fact, in my book, it's on page 9. You got to see a picture of this lady I was dating. Dani was her name. And this lady had, she was 23 years old. She had a marketing degree. She had worked for McDonald's corporate branding department and opened and sold a beauty salon. She wasn't a schluck. This is a very bright woman. We just so connected. I come from a you know, self-employed business owner background, and we were absolutely encaptured in the time we had. We probably spent 2.5-3 days together there. And this is somebody I really wanted to have a serious relationship with. But the more we talked about it, I realized that she was so anchored to the businesses she owned there and the family there that she was not willing to leave. And it broke my heart because I'm sitting here with somebody that I would love to take it a step further and see about a relationship. And I wasn't quite ready to go to Brazil and she wasn't ready to leave. So it made me, but it made me realize I could seriously fall in love with somebody from one of these other countries. And so you have to ask the question though, at some point, you know, everybody goes, okay, well, why on earth would a 23-year-old educated, amazing Brazilian woman, as you see in the picture, be interested, especially in that photo. I look horrible. I look like I'd been just drug out of the dryer. But, you know, you look at why would they be attracted and attentive. You know, these Brazilian beach hotties you see on the beach.
Yeah.
Gives. What's the deal, right? Why would they do this? And the assumption we always make in America is, oh, they're just after money. So, of course, I'm having dinner with her, and I press the question. I'm saying, you know, what is your dissatisfaction with dating here? And she makes this comment, and it caused a lot of thought. She says, look, we here in Brazil know that there are many, many more women than men. There's about 2-to-1 women to men in the dating scene. So most of us are never going to find a guy, but the guys can always have a different woman. And she says this, we know that the guys are going to cheat here. We know they're going to have different women all the time. And we're in a relationship with them. We just hope they're discreet about it. She says, I was married to a guy and I would wake up in the morning and do anything to him. I would want to make him happy. I would want to make sure I had prepared the right food for him. I had his clothes that he wanted. That when he came home, his house was the way he wanted it. And I would still do that today for a good man in my life. But she says, I found out that he had an entire another wife and family in another city. And that was just sort of the end of that. So she has a daughter from him raising with the grandparents. But she says, Mark, listen, we see there's three kinds of men. And the first one is a complete ass, like I just described. And this is a guy who just doesn't really care. He's not as connected with his family. Some of them don't even bring their money home to support the family. And we know they're going to cheat. It's just something, it's the majority of guys. And to have any guy, you end up putting up with a lot of these. The second kind of guy is a good man. And it's the one every woman dreams of over there. It's a guy who wants to be connected to family, who actually enjoys a relationship with a wife and kids, who is, if not faithful, is at least discreet and likes being connected with community. But they're rare to find because the men have so many choices. The third type is a superior man, which she says isn't always the most desirable spouse because that's like your city mayor, politician, or a rich person. But, you know, they have so many women in their lives, you're just not going to be very important to them. And she says, you know what, if I found a good man in my life, I would be that kind of wife to him all over again anytime. And so, you know, as I took that information home and kind of pondered on it, I realized, well, wait a minute. Okay, let's think about this for a second. I'm a well-trained American guy. I like being in a monogamous relationship. I like being faithful to my wife. I enjoy being the provider for a household. You know, I'm going down this list of things that they're looking for, and I'm going like, wow, I am freaking golden overseas. And so that began the whole eye-opening thing of like, you know what? My frustration is dating here because I've just been taking what I am, which is of value, to a group that didn't value it. And now I found out where not only what I have to offer is valued, but it's the highest commodity. It's the highest price. And for the women I met, the many, many that I ended up going past, you know, obviously through Dominican, Costa Rica, Colombia, Brazil several times, and then finally finding my wife in Ukraine, the theme was the same. And since then, you know, obviously I've spoken with, you know, a psychotherapist friend of mine. We talked about it. He's dated across the world. He's just now marrying a girl from Thailand, and he dated in China plus Ukraine. The themes are universal. There is a common hunger among these women to find and have what they see, the picket fence, the family. So whereas we keep thinking, a lot of people don't believe the international thing can be true because they keep thinking, well, it's got to be the money. They just want to get out of their country. They're poor, desperate.
Yeah, situation. it almost sounds like a get rich to them. It almost sounds like the equivalent of a get rich quick scheme. It's too good to be true.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly where, and you know, Steve, here's where we have to check ourselves. And again, I'm going to refer to conversations you and I've had because I've so enjoyed talking to you about this. But it's like the Matrix. It's like you got to understand when you go overseas, it's like you take a pill and enter into another world where they see things differently. What they value is different. And we can't understand it because here, for a gorgeous woman to be attracted to anybody who isn't also a Ken, if she's a Barbie, then it's got to be money. There's no other reason.
Yeah, let me interject there. I talked to a very young man who has been rejected in the dating scene. He's in his early 20s, and he spelled this out to a T. He says, in America, super good-looking women only date millionaires and celebrities. He goes, really good-looking women only date really, really good-looking guys. Average-looking women date good-looking guys. And then he goes, and mediocre-looking women below average date good-looking and average guys. He goes, but where does that leave ugly guys? Then he went on to say that even ugly women in America will not date an ugly guy. You very rarely see an obese woman with an obese boyfriend. It's like, I don't know whether there's I believe that there's a big shortage of women in this country because supply and demand has to be the only reason why women can just dump on men or even just ignore them and not men can't get anywhere. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, supply and demand is it. And I think that's the key in understanding. The reverse of supply and demand for male-female is true overseas. But here in this country, one of the things as I began to study it is, you know, when I first started dating, and I'll go back to it. By the way, I want to mention I did end up coming out of my story and writing a book on this. And it's called Mastering the Adventure of International Dating. And more because there's so many of the guys I went with and experienced with who found success that we said, you know, there are pieces of this people are just missing and so much misunderstanding. But when we started looking overseas, obviously lady friends would say, what, you can't find a good girl here? What's wrong with us? Friends would say, yeah, you're just going to get scammed and ripped off, you know, and other people are concerned. So I wanted to be able to do something intellectual, to be able to hand somebody and say, you know what, this is actually a very intellectual choice. This is a very smart choice for guys who are serious about wanting the right thing in their life. And then I go through the how-to and how a guy could actually make this work. Because the guys who do this right, and the pieces are so simple, come back with, you know, like my wife, okay, she's gorgeous is an understatement. She's 22 years old, was a runway model over there. Not all of them are runway models, but they're all gorgeous. You know, because they have to fight so hard to get a guy, they pay attention to their beauty. And when they get you, it's just the loyalty they have is phenomenal. And it's pretty easy to get past the scammers, and there are scammers over there. But anyway, I wrote the book for that. And for Winston's group, I've got a discount on his page as well. But what I did in the book is you'll find the first chapter after the introduction is I talk about my dating scene in America. And it starts from the innocent to the bizarre. I go on a great date with this gorgeous woman, and we were just giddy with how well it turned out. So I send her an email afterwards and ended up stepping on some sacred cow she had about violating a 72-hour no-contact rule after our first date. And it's like, what? You've got to be kidding me. I'm on Match.com and chatting with somebody who says, well, maybe I'll go out with you, but you know, what kind of date would you take me on? Many men offer to take me on dates. What would your date be like? And I'm like, really? Is this like a high school talent show? I'm waiting for the women to hold up a scorecard. And what I found is that the women don't need any particular man. They've got so many choices. It's like the common attitude, as I put it, is it's like, you know what? I've already got a good education and a job. I drive a nice car. What are you bringing to the table? And the fact is, you know, as a buddy of mine said in one of my interviews, he says, you know, with a good set of batteries, what do they need a man for? And, you know, it just gets that place where you end up having to work so hard to get their attention. It devalues you.
Yeah, let me say my point on that. I was at the bar yesterday. We're Ohio State fans here, and of course, in my neck of the woods. And there were a couple girls at the bar, but normally I would get up after having a few drinks and talk to them. But I just knew, I saw the guys hovering around these few girls that were there. You know, most bars are sausage parties. And it dawned on me, I have finally gotten to the point where I don't even pay attention to American women anymore because it's gotten to the point where I'm so cynical now. They've got unlimited choice. And like you're right, the amount of stress that a guy has to go through just to get a woman to just want to talk to him for any length of time, I mean, it's just insane. So apparently from what you're describing, it's much different.
Well, overseas it is, but here,
yes, that's what I mean. That's what, yeah. What I'm saying is, here in America, dating is a chore for women. It's a choice.
Oh, you hit a great word. I love that you said that word, the chore, because that's exactly what I found. You know, here it's like you go through these so much work you have to do to plan, to script, prepare. You get this nervous energy. You go say you prepare to be rejected because you're rejected all the time here, and you have to go through these hoops, bring gifts, do all the right things. And then even then, something can blow up in your face you don't even see because they have, you know, these other idiosyncrasies and oddities about them because they can choose. They can go to somebody else. And so you come from this place of being battle-scarred and having to put on so many airs. And no matter whether the woman's young, old, gorgeous, whatever, ugly, heavy, it doesn't matter. It seems to be the same common sort of package where we have to do so much in order to date here. And you go over there. And it's just like all of that fades away. It's unbelievable. It's like you can't screw it up.
Yeah, it's not, you're not even 50% of the year. You're 100% in like 180-degree turnaround.
Completely. It's like they're so fascinated in you and the attention's on you. And anything that they would say has something to do with what you said. Who they are is reflected back into you. It's like I said, you know, whatever you say, they're fast. Tell me more. I want to learn about you. They're absorbed in your energy. And it's like you're a celebrity walking out there and they're hungry for you. And it's not just because you're from another country. As my wife said, if I'd found a good man in my own country, of my own countrymen, that I felt would be faithful to me, she says, I'd still be here. I get four generations of family here. I go to the discos with my friends here. I like life here. So it's not that they're hungry to find, just get out of their desperate situation. It's like they're genuinely just looking for a good man. And because the guy's there, you have to understand, this is where we win, okay? If you want to be the superhero, if you want to walk into some place and be, you know, Sylvester Stallone and just be adored, you always look at what's your competition. I remember reading one of these pickup artist guys who was talking about, you know, maybe you just ought to increase your odds, that make sure you're always, you know, the best, one of the better looking guys in the room, like at least so you'll increase your odds of attraction. And because it says, what's your competition? And it just cracks me up to listen to these guys because you realize how difficult the whole dating scene is by their own admission.
You know what I've came to the conclusion? When you have a nice car and nice clothes, you get an audition. If you don't have those things, you don't get an audition. But an audition doesn't really amount to anything, again, if the woman has 50 choices. And I hate to use that general number, 50 choices, but it seems that if a girl really goes out and she puts a little makeup on and she goes out on the town or to a bar, she's going to get hit on by guys. And it's just like, it just is impossible. So I really believe that the only thing that PUA really does is it might build confidence in you if you're totally 25th degree Asperger's and you're afraid to get out of your shell, but it doesn't change the dating dynamic that much. It just kind of maybe enhances something if you already have something to work with. If you're good looking, PUA pickup artistry will only help you, but it's not going to help you if you already are unsuccessful with women.
Yeah, you know, you hit on some really good points. You know, you talk about all it does is get you the audition. And I read in Men's Health magazine that they're saying on average, women here in America will be flirted or hit on 15 times a day. And so at some point, the woman has to absorb that information into a perception of no matter where she goes, whatever man she has in her life, he has to fill that gap of doting on her because that's her expectation because everybody else does. And frankly, if you're not willing to, she can just, somebody else will. So it's, you know, we want to be angry at them, but at the same time, if we were one of them getting hit on 15 times a day, we'd probably feel the same way.
Well, I don't think we would because we're men. Men don't have the cruel nature, I don't think. And I don't mean to be cruel about this. I know you love your wife, but I don't think men would lead women if the roles were reversed and women were forced to compete with men. Women would be in catfights. And I don't think men would like be flaky. I think that what they would basically do is they might have a woman or two on the side, but they wouldn't be flaky. And I think the biggest thing that really screws up dating is just the flakiness that this whole process, and I say it's a chore. It's a major chore for a guy just to be in that. But continue.
No, and this is, I love the fact you teed me up so well on this, and you didn't even know it, but I want to take and flip that then, because I can tell you exactly the way men behave when the roles are reversed. Here's the case. First of all, let's get into their place. Let's be frat party time. Let's say that there are 2-to-1 gorgeous women for every guy, and literally the women have told me the guys can have a different girlfriend every month. And if that's true, why wouldn't you? And they do. And so here's what they have. There's two combinations of factors to understand the international man. And let me separate the two out. I'm talking about developing nations, okay? And I'm not talking just third world. I'm talking developing nations, okay? It's Ukraine, Brazil. These places have economies, but they're not where they are in what I call the industrialized nations, you know, whether it's Japan or Australia or England or, you know, the European countries or the U.S. or Canada. These are the industrialized nations. So I'm talking about the developing nations of the world. The guys have two things going for them. First of all, there are twice as many women to men. There's you can go to the CIA, does world statistics, and you can look it all up. The number in Ukraine, there's and most of them are talking about the dating environment. In Ukraine, there's statistically 3.5 million more women than men. Russia's got 12 million. More women than men. Some blame it on wars. Some will say there's pollutants. I've got an article in my book where they really just identify pollutants are actually causing the birth of more females around the world. So you have one dynamic where there are more women than men. The other part of that society is that they're frustrated because they're not going to economically get ahead. So I was talking to a guy in a bar who said, you know what? I can work my butt off or be lazy. I'm going to make the same thing 20 years from now as I do right now today. And that is a frustration that you and I are, as guys, we like to be able to accomplish something. We want to have hope that we can better our lives, and they have total frustration and desperation that they will never better their financial existence.
Yes, but let me make my point here. Okay, here in America, we have all the opportunity in the world to be businessmen and succeed, but we have almost no dating choices unless you're super good looking or maybe rich. Where in other countries, it seems, where they have less opportunities economically, boy, the men sure get laid a lot, and they have a lot of opportunity with women. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, and it's statistical. In another Men's Health magazine survey, there was done out of Europe, there was it was a huge number. I think 32,000 men were surveyed from some 24 different countries. And literally, they said in the United States of America, men have sex 70 times per year less than the average of the other European countries. And if you boil that down, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot, 70 times.
Yeah, and that's assuming you're getting honest statistics from American men, because I would say that American men, they might even not be telling – they might be getting sex a lot less. I don't know the statistic because you really can't quantify it. But one of the things I'll tell you, your dating life was not quite the same as a lot of my viewers. There's a lot of people that have had very limited opportunity at all, and that really creates a problem. If you're a guy, you really are cynical. I think those are the guys that don't believe it could ever get any better.
Yeah. No, I can appreciate that. The nice part about going overseas, and let me finish my thought of what you're competing with overseas. What you're competing with is guys who are economically frustrated and can have any woman they want. So for them, what you end up with is a lot of alcoholism because of their own frustration. And then they have no intention on getting married. Why would you? Why would you want to limit yourself when you're used to having one a month? So if you don't know this, the Russians are actually paying couples to get married because they've got a serious problem with – they have a birth rate decrease. Their population's going down. Men don't want to get married. They don't have to. So when you go over there and the men can – you know, I've heard women say, yeah, my boyfriend says when I'm sick, just don't call me until you're better. And if we ever get in a fight, it's just over because the men don't have to deal with it. They don't have to try to resolve a conflict. They just go get another woman. So when you go over there and you're dating one of these women, just to give them some romantic attention and actually focus on them and pay attention to them and let them be one-on-one engaged to you in a conversation, it so fills the same void we would have here if some woman were to dote on us here. It's like, wow, I'm the center of somebody's attention. It just fills this void. And so it's like this match made in heaven. I mean, here we are. We're good guys. And we're not getting the attention, the ego food that should naturally come from just being a good guy. These are beautiful, wonderful, sincere women, you know, for the most part over there, who are also not getting romantic attention. So for them, the guys turn to more alcoholism, and they're not abusive per se, but they just don't give a crap because they can go get another woman. And so for the women, what do? You know, it's a very difficult spot. But for us, what it turns out to be is it'll rock your world because you will – every woman you ask will go out with you because they just don't – it's their chance. I mean, is this going to be the one? Is this a guy who's actually going to be sincere and I'll have family? It's an amazing difference. And if you can imagine how you feel here, imagine the women over there feeling the same way. And when the two get together, this is why I love what I do, because my buddy Law just got married yesterday. He's an African-American guy, went and found his blonde. That was his dream. He got a blonde in Ukraine, and the two of them are so incredibly excited together. And the guys that I went with on my very first trips out were married, and whether they're living here or overseas, there's this sense when you're with these couples of this sigh, this relaxedness, this like, ah, I found it. And it's really wonderful to see. It's amazing. You'll have to experience it.
So what do you recommend people do? What's the start?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, one of the problems is that people don't believe it's true. And I don't know how to help people get past that except in little steps. The first thing you would say is go ahead and go. I mean, I've got an affiliate website at international-dating.com where there's 38,000 profiles. I'm an affiliate with a foreign affair, the travel company. But you go there and all you do is start writing to some, and you'll find out that these women respond to you and they write. And I remember one time one woman actually asked me, she says, you know, what would you like a woman to do in your life to make you happy? And it was like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. You imagine somebody asking you that question? But in writing, you start to realize that there's a different attitude overseas and the attention you get. So part of your cynicism still says, yeah, but, you know, is this, you know, a big beer belly guy on the other end writing? So they have a service for $10. You can send a little gift. The gift is $25 or $30, flowers, candy, whatever you want to send. And for $10 more, they will take a picture of your girl receiving your gift. It's this amazing feeling when on your email inbox, you get a photo of this girl receiving the gift, and oh my gosh, she looks just like the profile pictures. This is real. You know, it's 24 hours old or less. So all of a sudden you realize it's real. Now, that's the faith part, because the truth is if every guy believed what I'm saying and knew what was over there and understood the impact that could have on their lives, they'd be just buying their plane tickets and going. Because the difference it makes in your world to have somebody like this, adoring, caring, attractive, fully sexually liberated, with comfortable attitudes about all of that, and just wanting to be connected with you, you'd be on a plane to make that happen. So the belief steps come in little pieces. First of all, you connect with them, you realize they're real, and then you got to fight the next temptation is to fall in love with the people you're writing to, because you still don't have enough information until you're eyeball to eyeball with somebody. So then the question is, how do you actually go over and date overseas? But before I get into that, is there a piece I'm missing, something else you'd like to know?
Basically, we can talk about the language barrier. That's a big thing, because you told me that when you go over there, most of these beautiful women are not caught up in the English-speaking matrix. They don't all speak the English like Anna Kournikova or Maria Shaparova. We all have an illusion that these women speak it, and they don't. So you're over there. What can you expect? What do you just communicate with sign language? You try to like wing it the best you can. Would it help you to learn a little bit of Ukrainian? I have a Ukrainian and Russian course, and they're really awesome. You just listen to them and you speak it, and I've learned quite a bit of Russian. It might impress them. Who knows?
Anywhere you go, it helps to have a little bit of, you know, when you go to, if you've taken your 2 years of required Spanish in school, like I did, I was surprised how much came back to me when I was in Latin America. And a little bit helps, and more it's endearing. They just appreciate the effort, and it's not a make or break. I got to confess, I had none. I didn't even learn basic words of Russian when I went over there, and part of that is the the guy I learned about what I'm going to share with you from, had been married to his Russian wife for 9 years. And he goes, I don't speak any Russian, you know, and it's like, really, you don't need to. So I kind of said, well, if that's not the case, then what is important? And then so going in advance, learning some, I think it helps because it's a great, it's a nice thing to do. It's a gesture. It certainly is ingratiating, and they're not going to expect you to obviously speak fluently, but it's a nice thing to do, but it's not critical. You there? Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm outside. A plane flew over. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. No problem.
I'm doing this on my laptop from an outside area, and it's I had a plane fly over. I should have muted the mic. But anyways, yeah, it sounds like the language barrier is not a very viable – you don't need to know it, but it does help. It will impress them if you make an effort.
It's not an excuse for not going because a lot of times at this point when you start asking questions like this, you know, you get to, okay, all right, I believe they're really there. Now, what are going to be the problems? And they typically come up with, you know, the three major questions. You know, are we going to have a language issue? You know, how do I sort through the ones that are just trying to take advantage of me? And, you know, then, you know, cost factors. So, and also, how do you meet them and date them? I mean, they're just foreign elements. It's a new deal. So going through those one at a time, okay, let's decide that we want to do this. One of the things I want to share with you is there's several ways to do it. And one of them is, I mean, when I went over dating before I met my wife, I just wanted a bunch of guys having fun, okay? And we would go to a club, and any of the clubs there, again, you're in a situation where there's many more women than men, and they'll tell you, be careful with which one woman you make eye contact with because she'll think that's an invitation to come hang with you. And so, you know, if you want to, do it. And
well, isn't that terrible? Isn't that – we men over there have it so rough. We look at a woman and she, it's an invitation. Could you imagine the club scene being like that here? That'd be a man's paradise.
Well, it really is. So even when I was just over – you know, the best trip was so fun. I was with you know, a bunch of guys in Rio de Janeiro, and this is where I met on the trip where I met Danny. We were in a club, a new one. We'd been to several. We went into this one. We're sitting there just having beers together. And Danny was absolutely rocking my world. Just her, the way she – because the girls would be on stage by themselves dancing. You know, the girls do this around the world. A lot of them, they dance with each other. And the guys sit in their chairs like their mafia boss, like, yeah, that's my woman, you know, kind of a thing. And so you're watching the women dance. And this woman was just rocking my world. She was just so comfortably sensuous. And most of them are in Brazil. So she came down, I looked at her, and I just gave a little head nod, and she would just came over and sat down next to me. I mean, that's all it took. So, you know, it was fascinating that if you're just going over for fun, it's a great experience. I mean, if you want to build your faith and the reality of this, do a fun trip. I mean, you know, but don't do it alone. Go with some guys. Every time I traveled, I always went with some people because everywhere you go, there's always little rules about, you know, don't go down this street. This one's okay. You know, here's some of the courtesies in this town or, you know, situation. Here's how to be safe. So I always either got advice from people who went, or most of the time I just went with other guys. Some people have said, well, can I just land in a city and walk the streets and meet people? You can. You know, then you just kind of roll the dice with who you meet and if, you know, what you're looking for. So let's say there's three ways to do it. You can just arrive and date. You can go out with a bunch of other guys and have a good time and party and go to the clubs and you can find all the ladies you want. They will do anything you want. And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation if you just want to have fun with it. If you want to get serious and marry somebody, find somebody to wake up to every day like that, then you can take some of the people you're writing to and just show up and go try to date that one person and see if that connection is real, as it was in your letter writing, or you can go on what's called a romance introduction tour, one of these vacations.
So, right. Let me say this real quick. I think it's important to point this out. A guy does have to know what he wants when he goes over there, because if you're just looking for a sex tourism, you got to be very upfront with the women that that's what you want, because you really got to – they say, like, a lot of young kids that go to college, they don't know what they want to do. Well, those are the kids that generally don't get a career until they finally find out what they want to do. So are you of the agreement when you went over there, did you want to have sex or did you want to just meet one woman? What was your agenda?
Well, when I went to go meet my wife, I was definitely ready for marrying. But before that, it was all for fun, and it was fun. So you know what? You can have what you want, but again, be intentional. And there are two different groups of people. You know, if you just want to go into the bars and hang out and find ladies, and they're sincere, they're still going to dote on you. There's nothing hurried about it. It's a lot of fun, and they will pay attention to you. And if you wanted to do the sex thing, I mean, there's people who can tell you how to do that and do it safely wherever you go.
Right.
But it's a different thing. Now, when you want to get serious about it, understand that there is the best way to do this, other than just going down the streets, because you don't know who you're running with, if they're sincere, not sincere, what their background is. The nice part about the girls who are on the dating sites is they've been pre-screened. In their language, they refer to these agency offices as marriage agencies. And so the ladies like at international-dating.com, which is a foreign affair affiliate, the ones there have had to show up in person, prove legal documentation that they are who they say they are, and do a photo session. And if they're on the system more than a year, they have to do another photo session. So all the photos are current. And not only that, they walk into an office where it's called a marriage agency. So what are their expectations? So if you want to meet those, you already at least know that they are there for the purpose of finding a husband, finding somebody for a lasting relationship. There are some people who will just show up and walk in one of these offices and say, you know, can you set me up with some dates with some people? And yes, they can. Here's what I like to do. The way I met my wife and the guys, you know, that I'm working with have had success is with these romance tour vacations. So here's another, we're going to take this whole thing to another level, Steve, because I want you to picture this for a second. You know, you fly over there and you're with a group of 25 guys. They have somebody greet you. So you're oriented, you know, they kind of make you feel connected. And all of you guys together are there with the same cause. There's some fun in the group because, you know, you share your same stories about dating here, plus your expectation about what you're to experience. Maybe some of the guys went on one of these before and they're coming back for another one. And they introduce you to translators in case you do need to use a translator. So we ended up on the first night, several of us just went out with some translators because they're also beautiful. And honestly, a lot of the translators end up marrying some of these guys too. But so we get schooled on how to do all that, and then comes the first social. And here's the point. The purpose of the social is just to put 150 to 200 women in a room, and there's only 25 of you guys. The odds are in your favor. And unfortunately for the ladies, not all of them are even going to get to talk to one of the guys. So they're all eager to talk to you. And the thing always happens. You walk in a room, and you see all these tables laid out, and there's little hors d'oeuvres and snacks. And you're kind of eyeballing the room, figuring out which one appeals to you. You know, where's the one that's like my type that I'm really excited about? And you'll find four or five. Okay, I want to see that one. Okay, I like this. And so you just start playing. You start walking the room. You sit down at a table. Hi, ladies. How's it going? Oh, good. They're just fascinated with you. It's just so fun. You end up finding so many things you have in common you wouldn't have thought of. You know, they've seen probably every American movie you've seen. They've heard of many things, and so they're curious about various aspects of life, where you are. You can tell them about your town, wherever it is. You'll have a good time, joke with them a little bit. And, you know, it takes time to warm up to this because it's a different environment. There's a translator at every table, so in case you end up using one, that's another experience. It's a lot of fun. So the whole goal is 2 hours into this thing of just mixing around, going from table to table, you find somebody that you were connected with, you really liked, and you want to go on a date with. So you get up from the table, you call the translator over and say, you know that one over there, could you see if we can set up a date? So she'll get with her, and you're in town for the next 2 days just for the purpose of doing dates with women you met at this social event. And so you'll end up going on, the translator will connect with a girl, you pick dates, and you go to another table, do the same thing. So the idea is you probably got anywhere between 3 and 6, 7 dates lined up for the next 2 days just by doing this. Go to another table, have some fun, find somebody else. And then after that, it turns into a party. The lights go down. The disc jockey cranks the music up louder. Afterwards, just grab some people. You go into the town, walk through, see the discos, you know, their bar scene over there. Whatever else they got going, you just have a great time.
You don't get ripped off as far as like if you go out to the discos, the girls being of that native country, you're not going to get charged 3 times for a drink. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. In fact, the girls, I love, see, this is the fun part about it. All of a sudden, when you're with a girl, it's like for that season, you're her man. And so she yeah. wants to protect you and take care of you. And she goes, let me
just talk. She's not going to let you get taken advantage of either.
Oh, no. She's going to say, let me be the one. I'll take care of you. And she'll take care of buying the drink. She'll bring it to you. She'll make sure you're taken care of. And that is so a great feeling to have this beautiful woman saying, I want to, honey, just sit there. Let me take care of your baby and go get the stuff. And
Let me ask this other question. Speaking of romance tours, I want to break it down into dollars and cents. What does it really break down to versus, see, going to the Philippines is fairly easy because they, not only do they speak English there, but they'll approach any American or let you approach them if you approach them. Now, in the Ukraine, you're talking about the romance tour being, is it quite an expensive investment, the tour? I mean, what are you spending, $5,000? What are you looking at?
Let's break that down into two pieces.
Because got airfare and hotels and all that other stuff, which is a definite cost regardless of whether you go through a tourism. But what do they do for you exactly?
Well, first of all, the tour company, A Foreign Affair, offers 80 tours every year around the world from China, Thailand, Philippines, Latin America, and Ukraine. So it's not just limited to Ukraine. But your costs are basically going to come down to you've got hotel costs, airfare costs, whatever food you're going to have, and then you'll pay for the socials or the introductions. So here's where it comes down as a package. When they do Latin American tours, it's like $1,500, and that's going to get you your hotels, I think your breakfast, and your introduction socials, and then you just buy the airline ticket.
Okay, that's not a bad deal. That's, you don't want to know why that is? It saves you all the bullshit of having to, excuse my language, it saves you all the baloney of having to walk up to strangers and start talking. At least you know what they're there for.
Yeah. And so the ones that go to China are the same, or Asia. They leave the airline separate so you can negotiate your own deal. The ones going to Ukraine, they package the airfare into it so it looks more expensive.
Right.
On the face value, but you can still do the same thing. If you wanted to break it down, you can still fly over there on your own and just pay to attend the socials and arrange your own hotel transportation.
What would it cost if I wanted to go to the Ukraine for a 2 weeks? Because I've got some time coming up. I've got some money saved. I've got a few thousand saved. I don't know. What would it cost me to fly there and back and the whole nine yards? Of course, there's drinks and extra. What are we looking at? $5,000-$6,000?
No, not at all. I mean, honestly, the last time I went, it was $2,000 for almost 2 weeks, everything included. Now, it depends on the time of year. Airline tickets can run anywhere from $900 up to, probably $1,800, depending on the time of year. And, Latin American airline tickets can run $350 round trip to $800 round trip.
You're telling me you go there for 2 weeks. It's like being on a it's got to be like being in paradise for 2 weeks. You got nothing but women.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be an unbelievable experience because you're around women for like 14 days or 12 days. I mean, you're actually going through life and you're in because it's a prearranged thing through the dating agency. They prearrange everything so that you can just do it. You know what? That's an excellent idea. You got me more sold on the prearranged package deal than going out and trying to wing it myself. If I was fluent in Ukrainian, I still wouldn't want to do it myself because, by the way, my nationality is Ukrainian. Isn't that a coincidence?
That's great.
Yeah, but I know how to say "Я тебе люблю." That means I love you.
Yeah.
And I speak a little Russian too, but I'll talk about it another time. But it sounds like when you prepackage everything, you know what you're getting when you get there because everything's all laid out for you.
Look, here's why I like the package deals because it's like you don't have to worry about that. Honestly, because I was so well taken care of on the tour, and I did it both ways, right? I mean, I did one with guys we just took on a plane and we went someplace together. So I've done both. But when I was serious about finding a spouse, you're nervous enough already because that's a pretty high expectation. That you're actually going to look for somebody to marry. That for me to absolutely not have to worry about anything else than just
show up,
and have a good time and hang. And tell you what, the friendships, the bros you make. I mean, it is so fun.
Yes, it's not. You know what? Let me make this point here because this is key here. when you meet other men at these socials, you are like best friends. You're not in the bar trying to compete with these women. You are actually there to high five each other and believe in helping one another. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, it's exactly right. You know, it's such camaraderie. You come back like school kids go like, oh my gosh, you should have seen the girl I was with tonight. You know.
Yes. Yeah. That's another thing that men are so distant. But, you know, like it's almost to the point where men can almost get giddy, like two little teenage girls talking about their first kiss. Like, oh, I had my first kiss. But you'll see grown men that have never in their entire life had this much attention from beautiful women that don't have these really crappy attitudes. By the way, I'm not here to make war with American women. I'm giving guys I'm letting you give guys options because let's face it, in a world of no options, women are free to do whatever they want in this country, and we need to let guys know they have other options.
Yeah, and let me take that even a step further to say that, you know, statistically, at any given time, there's about 44 million single American men, and most of them are going to find an American woman. Most single women are going to find an American guy. That's fine. But you know what? I just finally came to the conclusion that maybe my frustration was because there was my destiny, the person meant for me, was not from my country. And I just finally came to the conclusion, said, you know what? I need to accept that and go see what's out there. And I believe personally, I would just keep banging my head against the wall if I kept trying to find something here, when for me, I was meant to find something overseas. And once I got there, it was such a, oh, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. The fit was natural. So I just say to guys, if there's any part of you that resonates with this, that's curious about it, you know, it may be because that's where your connection is going to be. Your satisfaction is going to be there. So we don't have anything against people that find Americans that find other Americans. I mean, it's just like this is our calling. And the thing I'd say is you got to try it at least once, because you don't want to go through life with that lingering question. I wonder if it was there and I never even went to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Not that you can't do it at age 45 or 50. I'll be 40 this year, but I'm not at I'm a very happy person. I'm a marathon runner. I think it's those endorphins. So I don't think I'm going through mid-age crisis. But at the same time, I want to know, Steve, what are your options? Of course, I love my mother and sister, but they give me the same old crap. Be confident. You need to get out more, do this and that. But, you know, they don't know because they're women. It's just their perception of the world. Isn't it weird how even your own blood relatives can have no clue as to what it's like to be a man if they're female?
Well, they don't know what you go with every day, you know, who you are at night, being alone at home, the things that drive you crazy, and the experiences you have out there in the dating scene. You know, and it wasn't just family. You know, I had other friends who were critical. But at the end of the day, I finally had to come and say, you know what, though? If I listen to them, they're not going to provide me what I need. I have to provide for me what I need. And so I finally had to say, you know, end of the day, I'm responsible for my happiness. This is something I want to do. And some guys will go over there and they'll be secretive about it. They'll just tell their family they're on a vacation, maybe a fishing trip or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm on my way to go to the Philippines, possibly. I may change it to the Ukraine because you got me more excited. But here's the key here. I'm thinking, should I tell the people at work that I'm going on one of these tours or not? I'm leaning toward no, because I'm of the opinion that they'll scoff at this and laugh at it. And first of all, I'm not one for peer pressure, but I've tried. There's a couple guys that I've worked with in the past or present. I won't say whether past or present, they could be listening to this. But there are definitely in the past I've worked with. And there was one guy I used to work with, and I told him all about, you know, the options in other countries. And he was in the same boat as I was, but he never opened up about it. He would hook up with these women with four kids, and then they would still treat him like crap. And I thought, couldn't imagine if I could just get through to this guy. Why is it that so few guys can't see this option and look at it? Not that I care. Maybe it's good. We'll have more options. But, I mean, it seems that the guys just it's like too good to be true. Or they call it cognitive dissonance, where you try to explain the truth to them and they just fizzle out and don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and it's something that they're ignorant of. And this is the fascinating part of psychology, because – You look at a man who will respond immediately negatively to the thought of, you know, they want to wrap it in this label of mail order brides, which obviously can't happen. You can't catalog order a human being. But they want to find some reason to say no to it, because anytime you can dismiss something early and say no to it, it means you don't have to think about it anymore. It returns you to your comfort zone. It means the choices I've already made have been the right ones. What if the choices you're making now, there are better ones? You don't want to deal with that.
Yes, it really is true. That's exactly true. But go ahead.
No, and so, you know, the guys who are single, you know, they're in the somewhat of the same boat. They don't want to feel that they've been missing out. They don't want to feel like there's better options than what they're doing, because they're going home, you know, they're trying to high-five their buddies, and they go on a date too. And then, you know, honestly, the guys who were critical of me when I came home with my wife, their jaws are dropping, and they're just like, how the hell did you do this? You know, and
here's a very touchy subject. Let's say you do find your bride through one of these match services, these travel agencies. And this is jumping into a far into the future, but men worry about divorce and losing half their assets. Do you ever, being married to a beautiful young Ukrainian woman, worry that maybe 5 years from now she might say, hey, I found some doctor, or maybe not even a doctor, maybe just some young stud, and she's just going to jump ship?
These are good things. Let me make a quick note, because there's three things I want to make sure we cover before we're done. Okay. One is, I want to come back to the language barrier. I want to talk about what I call closing the deal, which has to do a lot with the visa work. And let's talk about the becoming Americanized, because that's one of the concerns.
Let's go in that order, then. That's fine. I'll let you take it away, and I won't even interrupt you, okay?
No, I love conversation with you. It wouldn't be the same if we weren't interacting. It's all fun. You're my bro. Anytime you want to jump in. Yeah. Let's take them in that order. So I am going to cover all of those before we're done. We're going to talk about the financial deals. We'll talk about the concerns of them just becoming Americanized when they arrive here, and getting in the process of actually what happens when you find one. And then let's get to the language barrier. So we're on a tour. And so let's say we're going on dates, and the first couple, we're just having a good time. Nobody's rocking our world, but I mean, it's just great to find male attention or female attention. And one of the things that you want to be aware of is that anytime anybody in letter writing or on a date starts asking you for expensive gifts, jewelry, buy me some jewelry, give me some cash, that's just a check, go to the next one. There are women out there, and some of them sneak into even these marriage agencies, of which as soon as they're reported, they're kicked out. So, but I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. So when I was on my first city, I did find somebody who said, take me out and buy me stuff. And she was so freaking gorgeous. I think she's also pictured in the book, that I ended up doing it. And I felt stupid. I spent $800 on buying her stuff. And it was, you know, and then I just got warned later, you know, another guy says, yeah, she tried the same thing with me. And so I just kicked myself. I knew better. But it was just so hard, because she's so freaking gorgeous, 110 pounds, this incredibly beautiful woman. It was my first one landing on the shores, you know. So the golden rule is, you, no gold, you know, no money, no expensive gifts to somebody until they're actually already your girlfriend and you've met person to person.
Yes, totally.
If you don't violate that rule, how can you get scammed? How can you get scammed if you're not opening your wallet? You can't. So that's kind of the first rule. As a sideway to that, what you're looking for is the ones who want to prove to you their sincerity. They're going to go out of their way to make sure that you know they're not going to be asking you for money. And that's how you really know you have a sincere one, is they want to prove to you that they're sincere. And I love that. And there's so many out there. You know, what I do is, in the book, there's a whole work section to do what you said. It's like, get specific about what you're looking for. What does that person not only look like, but what does it feel like to be with her? What do you want a woman to do for you on a daily basis? What is life together like? And when you get a sense of what that is going to be like to be with that one person, you end up creating, it's like this law of attraction thing they talk about, but it's become, you become a GPS magnet, where you just end up honing in on that person, and it naturally happens. And when you find that person, you like, this is the one. I found it. I know what I was looking for, and I found it. That's important before you go.
But is it possible for one of these – nothing's. I guess the old saying, nothing's guaranteed in life. Is it possible for one of these women to flake out on you after you get them here, or generally you'll know that before it even happens?
Okay. Let me add to that.
I have to ask this because, guys, this is going to put a monkey wrench in the machinery that they, quote, all just want to come to America and then divorce you for a richer guy. You know, you gotta bring all these things to the table because those fears are legitimate.
This is such good stuff. The answer to your question is, there's so many great things built into the whole process, because you know, in doing this, this is one good piece of legislation. Let me get to the next. Let me finish this topic on the dating, and then I'll get to that, because you're protected. That's something I can absolutely alleviate your fears on. So let me get to that, but let me finish this thought process, because I'm trying to take you through the dating process. You're going through some dates, and let's say in the first city you're not finding one that just rocks your world. Well, there's two more cities. You get in the bus with the guys, you celebrate, you high-five each other, talk your stories, you go to another city. There's another social with another 150 to 200 women, more time to date. And then if you don't find them there, there's a third city. You're literally going to be introduced to somewhere between 450 and 600 women over the course of 9 days. And out of that, you're not going to date them all. You're just going to eat social to find three or four or five that you want to. And I don't know any guys who picked one out and said, I'd like to go on a date with her, where she said no. They all want to see where the magic is. And it doesn't matter what you look like. The guys on my trip, Peter, who they just had their first baby. He was on my very first trip 4 years ago. You know, he's a tubby worker guy. He's got a rough looking face, but he's an adorable personality. This guy's just, he's Italian. He's just one of his buddies you love to be with. And then his wife's 23 and we're good friends with them, and he's 44. It's such a different world over there. What they value is what you bring to the table. And, so let's talk about, you find somebody. And normally the natural thing is, I want to only talk to English-speaking women because I don't want to have to go through the learning curve. I don't want to worry about, are we misconnecting? So I personally came in with that opinion. I wasn't going to date anybody unless they spoke English. Well, it ends up that another rule I violated, in addition to buying gifts with a previous girl, when I was in America, I wrote to one girl that I thought was going to be the one. We exchanged 20 letters plus. We talked about how our lives would be like together, and I really thought she was going to be it. So I get there totally nervous, like, oh my gosh, I'm finally meeting this person that's going to be the one. And we sit down with her, and there's just no energy. And I was like, is this the same person? I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff, and she's just flat. Well, then she confesses to me. She goes, you know, I live on the other side of town. I didn't have a chance to get to the marriage agency and answer all of your letters all the time. So I just had the translator reply most of the time. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. So I was devastated, you know. So I'm sitting here at the second social trying to recoil from this process. And I ended up – hang on a quick second. The process ended up frustrating me because I was so expecting her to be the one. I couldn't recover. I finally just shook it off, and about an hour later I went out when the dancing started and found a really cute blonde to dance with, which is also pictured in the book, that second scene. And I was dancing with this cute blonde, and then a friend from the group, after I went to go get a drink, cut in on her and took her out for the rest of the evening. So I find myself with 15 minutes left after a four-hour event. I get no dates. And so I'm going like, screw this. I can't not have a date. I can't not do anything tonight. So I ended up just saying, I got to find somebody. So I'm looking around the room. Who have I not seen? Where's an opportunity? It's two girls in the back corner sitting by themselves. So I start walking all the way across the room, back across the dance floor. And I walk over to the table and I said, hi, ladies. My name's Mark. And the one girl says, my name's Anna. And the other one says, my name's Anna. And I said, oh, thank you. I've had a hard day. It's going to be easy since your name's the same. And they laughed. And we had a good time. One was a redhead and one was a blonde. So for the rest of the evening, this was on a blonde and this was on a red. Well, I said, ladies, this thing's almost done. Can I just take you out to dinner? Please show me your town. Let's just go have some fun. So I go walking out the door with two of these women on my arm. And it was just awesome. And I'm looking at them, figuring they're early 20s, maybe mid-20s. We go out to a great sushi place, and we're having a good time.
Oh, I love sushi. That I didn't know they have it in the Ukraine. They actually have sushi?
Oh, they have everything. This was right in the main
courtyard. Oh, no, they only have it in America. Only in America can you eat well. Only in America can you be happy. Only in America do you have beautiful people with beautiful jobs, right? Am I correct?
You know, and it's so funny because I was so shocked when I got there expecting a third world nation experience. And the downtowns of these cities are so modern. I mean, you feel like you're walking through Philadelphia. It has that European feel anyway. You feel like you're walking through downtown Boston.
You would never believe, I'm Ukrainian, so I knew a lot of the stories going on. They made it out to be that Ukraine was so controlled by the communists, and they killed 10 million of them through starvation, through Stalin era. But yet, at the same time, the Ukrainian people are very industrious. Look at their beautiful cities. I mean, the architecture is just breathtaking, and not to mention the landscape, the mountains and everything else.
Yeah, it really is. Their culture, the opera, the various things that they have. And we're walking through the city, and of course, this place we're at, the first night I was there, when I told you I went out with the translators and a bunch of bunnies, we went to a Benihana's. I mean, you know, it was just great. And so this night we're going out for sushi, and it's right across the courtyard from the McDonald's. You know, I mean, it's cool, but it's so exotic because you're in a different place.
And you were saying that the ratio, it's like 7-1 in your favor financially. So going out to a bar and getting like a glass of beer, it's probably like $1 in our dollars, right? Or 50 cents, or I don't know what it really amounts to. But is it affordable to be in the Ukraine? If you found a Ukrainian girlfriend and you had $10,000 saved, could you live there for 6 months and you know, maybe get to know her, help her pay the bills, whatever? Could you see yourself being able to possibly live there half the year, even possibly, if you could save the money?
Well, your currency over there, like you were referring to, 7-1 is the current exchange rate between the hryvnia and the dollar. You'll find similar exchange rates around different parts of the world where the dollar is worth so much more than their currency. So, I mean, there are times I would go out when I finally was taking my wife out on dates and I took the translator with us. We went to this incredible steakhouse and it was like a Ruth's Chris the way they delivered the steak. And the whole thing was like $22.
Yeah, I would have never thought they even had steak there, too. Another stupid American mindset is only Americans eat healthy steaks. In fact, their beef is probably not tortured like ours. I call our meat processing plants Auschwitz, you know, as far as the way they treat the animals. But it seems that everything that you could ever want in these countries like the Ukraine is there. Yeah. So I think that Americans need to stop believing that everything is so much rosier here than abroad.
No, and so as in everything in life, there is always give and take about everywhere you go. Nothing is perfect here. Nothing is perfect there. There are benefits of being here. There's benefits of being there. So it's take your pick because, you know, you can make a life. And the point I make is that wherever you choose to go is your choice. To me, the important thing is, and I've got a quote from Robert Kiyosaki where he says, you know, when you're trying to make that quantum leap in your life, the person you pick to wake up to every day will have the single most greatest influencing factor over anything else. Whether you make it or not will depend on that person you choose. And I think as guys, we need to take that seriously, saying this is something I'm bringing to my life, that wherever I go, wherever I live, this relationship will have a profound influence. And you want to find somebody that, as Kiyosaki goes on to say, you want to find somebody that supports your agenda and what you're doing and where you're going. And he talks about his wife, Kim, and how the partnership is a life journey together. And I believe in that. So to me, where you decide to live is secondary to the fact that you want to pick the right person that you have this connection with, who is going to support you. And that's what these women, these families, these lifestyles do. They're about supporting their family. They're about whatever it takes to make this work.
Now, it creates a scenario, a weird dynamic. I mean, if you marry a Ukrainian woman and obviously raise your children in the United States, there's kind of a dual dynamic now. You have the traditional Ukrainian or European wife versus the outside culture, which is obvious. Oh, this is a question I wanted to ask you. This is getting very personal, but your daughter, you have a 28-year-old daughter, and I saw her picture, and she's very attractive. Do you think her life for the average, compared to the average guy, is much, much easier in terms of the fact that she's attractive and she can just pretty much get her pick of the litter?
Everybody makes their own choices. My daughter, when she was dating in her college years, had a couple of choices to make, too. She had one guy who was high speed, up and coming, wanted to be a senator. but he was a little disconnected from her. And there was another guy who was a little more salt of the earth, kind of a guy, but they had a connection with each other. So she chose him. And I look at it, you know, from a dad's point, I'm going like, well, you know, if she picked this guy, at least she'd have a better financial opportunity, you know, than, you know, he's running a hotel, which is her husband now, which is great. But, you know, it's like everybody gets to pick what they want. And so she picked the guy who she had love with. And I respect that. Yeah. So she's happy today. And, my middle daughter, she married a guy who works for the state. They just had their first baby, so they're happy. You know, women, I think the point you're making is the same we're trying to make, is that women here can have choices.
Yes, even if they're – by the way, I'm sure your daughters are nice girls, and I'm not going to – you sound like a good father. But it, even whether you're a nice girl or a rotten girl or have a bad attitude, you still have choice, and that's the sad thing. At least if you're – it would be nicer that the system to me would be more fair if girls with bad attitudes didn't have choice. Unfortunately, this is the reason why we're on this thing, because the girls with the bad choice or they have bad attitudes certainly have choices. In fact, I think that's kind of the reason why they have bad attitudes. So we go the international route.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that I think let's tie this one up here, because I want to spend – I don't want to shortcut the process of talking about the language issue, the you know, the visa process, the guarantees you have about you know, the testing, the relationship. You actually get 3 months of having her in your home before you have to decide whether it works or not. So there's safeguards. I want to talk about whether she becomes Americanized and the whole financial picture about her taking all your assets. So let's do that on another interview, because I don't want to just cut those short. Those are big questions and they deserve to be treated with what they need.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so if we do that in another interview, would there's any closing comments you'd like to make now before we, or do you want to wrap this up now? Or, I mean, I should.
But no. I appreciate that. You know, because Steve, I love your heart, and this is you're one of us, and I think everybody on your call are our brotherhood, and right. We are a fellowship of our own. And I want to say what you said is that guys who are on this journey together, right. We're in a unique fellowship. When I was on the tour, there was actually one other guy who had pre-set up a date with the exact same woman I did. And even though we were set up with the same date, we were sitting there going like, that's awesome. Will you tell me how yours went? I'll tell you how mine went. We ended up, you know, and that was an incredible day with this gal. We ended up with other people. But there's a camaraderie we have. And I do have – I'll do a little quick sales plug on the happierabroad.com site.
Yes.
I've gone ahead and given him a special deal on the book, and I've completely recorded the entire book in an audio. If you'd rather listen to it as an audio book, I'm giving that in. So there's both of those for free. It's a $40 value. Right now, I think it's just $19.99 if you want to get that.
Right.
I'm all about getting the information out, because it's a cause we believe in. We want American men to understand you have something the world values.
Mm-hmm.
It is so treasured.
Yeah.
Don't feel beat down, because what you bring to the table, there are so many millions out there hungering to meet you and to have the connection with what you have to bring to the table. You've just been fishing in the wrong fishing hole.
Right. You know what, Mark? I want to compliment you about one thing. You're the first guy that I've talked to that is – well, Larry was pretty professional, Larry Elterman. But you come across as a person that is so professional that if a woman listens to me complain, she says, oh, you loser. You just want sex. You just want to get laid. But you are living – you embody the successful guy that doesn't vent anger, that is telling people the same thing that I'm saying, only from a more – nice guy kind of way. So I give you the utmost ability, I mean, a credit for being able to express exactly with less anger.
Thank you. Well, to me, I look at it as good news. I just have good news. I want to share it because it's working for a lot of guys. Over 10,000 guys a year are marrying through these dating trips. And so I want to get the good word out there so more and more guys learn about it. And I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's get the word out. I lost you. Steve?
So, I'm sorry. I'm here. I says, we're going to close this interview out, and we're going to talk about the second subject we're going to talk about when we do this is the concerns that men have, which is what's it like when you bring her here and what if she flakes out or something happens. That is a very – the visa, the whole process of the visa we need to discuss.
And the language barrier. You got it. We'll do it all next time.
Yeah, we'll do it all. And today's date is September 12, 2010. It's about 1:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you are listening to Mark Davis. And your website is what?
International-dating.com.
International-dating.com, all one word. International-dating.com. Thank you very much, Mark, and we'll talk again.
Look forward to it, Steve. Bye-bye. Have a good one, bro.